Pelicans have lost three in a row. Fall to the Minnesota Timberwolves, 122-101. Like, comment, subscribe. Let's talk about it. Presented by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, located at 19 Poitras Street by the Superdome. Give them a call at 504-523-5413 if you're someone you know has been involved in an accident. Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, joined with Chaz. Five about to come in the room. Let's start off, Chaz, with Jonas Valanciunas tonight. Look, you're down Zion. Before I start, shout out, like, congratulations to Zion. We know it's personal matters, personal reasons. We think that their baby is coming to this world tonight, maybe tomorrow. So first and foremost, congratulations, Zion.
Congratulations.
You're out Zion. You're out Trey. You're out Jose. You're out Najee. You're out, I'm sure I'm forgetting people. Herb Jones. Didn't really expect anything tonight, but I did expect Jonas Valanciunas to kind of be featured. And early on, he just struggled. There's no way to beat around the bush. He just struggled tonight.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where you see a guy who was possibly was a little out of rhythm considering the last two games. And also, man, I don't care what people say about the narratives around Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is one of the greatest big men defenders of all time. You know, it's funny to joke about, but Rudy Gobert, bad dude. You even see, it's kind of like when Jonathan Isaac, Rudy Gobert's length pause can be intimidating. His vertical reach can be extremely intimidating. When you look at JV was missing shit that he doesn't even normally miss. So you know it was like, yo, this dude, you know, he's in my mind. You know, I'm hearing footsteps. So I think that was a bit of it. But JV, hey, that's why you get paid the big bucks. You want your contract extension, man. This is a night where you got to show up and at least be a bit, give a bit of resistance in the front court.
Yeah, 20 rebounds for Rudy Gobert tonight. Five. I thought the turning point in the game happened. What it was, middle of the second quarter. I think even AD even said on the broadcast, like, it was a great pass to Jonas Valanciunas, and he just misses the layup. Like, I mean, it was a wide open layup. You should have just dunked the ball. They go down, I think, and then the floodgates opened. What did you think of, I guess, of that sequence right there?
I don't think that's the turning. I mean,
really?
The kickoff was the turning point. It was like a
5-7 point game, and then Jonas missed the layup.
You could tell from the get-go, this is when the turning point for me is when Carl Anthony Towns was hitting threes and we were shooting twos. Yeah. That's the turning point. That was in the first quarter. That let me know, like, this team's not going to be in this game very, very long. I mean, they were up. To be honest, I wasn't expecting a win from the Pelicans. I thought you would see a semblance of, like, hey, let's just try to move the ball so we can give ourselves a chance. And if we're missing shots, cool. But let's take good shots. And if we just miss, we just miss. This could have been like that, because the Minnesota Timberwolves defense is a real defense. They're running you off threes, funneling you into Rudy Gobert, and you have to deal with Rudy or a Cat. I don't think Cat's like the greatest shot blocker, but he is 7 feet. So that's a possibility. Also, offensively, they figured it out, right? They stuck Cat in the corner, like, all right, you want to shoot threes? Cool. Pick and roll, Rudy. With Ant or Rudy and Mike, and everybody play off that. And also, Jaden McDaniels got better shooting. So you can pick what you want to do. We've kind of got it already figured out. So if you try to, help off Rudy, we got Cat and McDaniels in the corner. Bro, the turning point is when the ball got tipped. You knew what it was. There was one superstar on the court this night. Tonight, there was one superstar in the building. His name was Anthony Edwards.
That's what it is. He's special. Yeah. I love the way he plays, man. He just energy all the time, man. He loves to play the game. Was there anybody, Chaz, that you were like surprised? Like any positives from tonight? Like
positives?
Yeah, any positives?
I like the confidence from the young guys and man, I'm just calling him Earl because that's the only thing that I really remember. I thought the first couple possessions, he was locking Cat up a little bit. Cat was getting a little frustrated, but boy, future Pelican call Anthony Towns when he got he was shooting that motherfucking rock. Oh, water. Oh, boy, I hope Griff was in the building. Dyson, I thought Dyson played very well. Took a knee to the back of the head. That would have knocked the average Pelican out the game. But Dyson stayed in the game, got a bucket after that as well. I thought Dyson played very well. Jordan Hawkins, he stayed confident. Matt Ryan, he just – he can't turn his confidence off. Cody Zella, 6 assists. Thought he played – I thought for what he was asked to do.
Let the team. Let the team.
Listen, I thought I was hoping to see that. Like the him at the nail and making plays off the screen. And you saw Kyra get a layup off that. Like there was – like you want to see that from the starters. You want to see that type of activity from the starters. You shouldn't wait to the fourth quarter to see Cody Zeller come up with 6 assists. Like, wait, we can do that? Like, yes, let's see more of that with movement and playing off, and maybe you can see guys, you know, get involved and be more efficient. And the problem is we were expecting Jonas to have a big game, but that's unfair to Jonas. Like, the matchup didn't dictate for Jonas to have a big game. The fact that other guys were out. But you wouldn't have done this if, you know, Rudy was out or Cat was out. You still wouldn't have gave him the damn ball anyway. So let's not blame Jonas here because he didn't have a good game. Well, this wasn't the game for him to have one.
Yeah.
Right. I thought Dyson was
three games. Like, they're not giving them the ball. Like, it don't matter.
And I thought Dyson kind of had the ball in his hands a lot to pause tonight with running the point a little bit. 5 assists, 4 steals. Like, he didn't. We talked about this in the summer league. He didn't look scared. Like, he kind of had some confidence there with him. I'm not saying he was like Chris Paul tonight, but I'm just saying that there were little baby steps that I saw where he was comfortable in the offense. He was getting people in the right spots. He was kind of motioning people. And like, look, it's hard to be positive in a 20-point loss, but I'm just saying something that I did see from Dyson Daniels tonight was a little bit of that confidence.
And that was good to see. Like dribbling the basketball in front of Anthony Edwards is not an easy thing to do, right? Like, Jayden Tatum found out the hard way, right? Mm. Like, no, like, go ahead, handle your business. Like, because at this point, this game was a game for you to figure it out. Yeah, go make some mistakes, but make them with effort and confidence. Make them trying to make the right play, right? Not like forcing it, but like try to make the right play. Oh, at the beginning of the game, he gets a layup off secondary action, boom, quick decision, gets a layup. Like, if you want to see that, and have that translate to other games, because that just builds and builds and builds.
Yeah. Chris joined the show. Chris, we talked about Cody Zeller actually playing productive minutes tonight, leading the team in assists with 6. But any positives from you tonight? Any positives?
The Pelicans covered the live spread at halftime. They
did, 24 to half. You said you call that. Yeah, you did call that.
Yeah, that was successful. You mentioned Cody Zeller. EJ Liddell scored 4 points.
EJ did. Why does he not play more? Why do you think that? Why does he not just
like? It how gotta does he be. Not get it? That's crazy. Gotta be something else there, man. I mean, either I think it goes beyond him not being a player that's ready to play yet. You know, James Robinson Earl. There you go. That's a positive. James Robinson Earl came out. Yep. Yeah, there you go. You know, he came out ready to play. I really don't know if you're looking for positives outside of that. What else you want me to say? I think a lot of the role players were ready to go. It's just Minnesota took away anything positive that the Pelicans could throw out there, missing the guys that they were. I mean, they were going to meet you at your spots, and they were going to live with mid-range jumpers all night. So unless JV was going to dominate or the Pelicans were going to throw up a barrage of threes, I don't see.
That's fair. Lito joined the show. Lito, let's start with let's talk about Brandon Ingram, 11 of 25 from the field, 1 of 6 from deep, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 24 points. what did you see from Brandon tonight?
I really have nothing to add to this podcast. I just came in here to kick it with y'all.
Okay.
That's what the Pelicans did tonight. Yeah, they just pulled up to kick it. I mean, that's what we saw. I don't think we're going to add anything of value to what we saw tonight.
There's not much to really talk about. I mean,
Hold on. There is a point we do need to talk about. Jeremiah Robinson Earl was not playing basketball last week. He started a NBA game tonight.
like team in rebounds,
which is also just one of these astonishing things that continue to happen. But what about the guys that are already in the building, right? Like, how can a guy off the street come in and play now, like start a basketball game? I don't, yeah, you got a barrage of injuries. Totally understand it. But you have other guys that have been here and they don't get that same identity. I don't get it. I don't get the point in all of this.
Anybody want to go? I don't.
Yeah, yeah. New Orleans Pelicans, the place where dreams come true. You know what I'm saying? You could be door dashing some shit. You could not have a job in Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? You pull up here? Yeah. We got a spot for you. Yeah, come fuck with us. This is Death Row Records.
I want to say I don't think, you know, some of the stats given were detailed enough. Shout out to Cole Izzella. Cole Izzella had a classic CeeLo head crack. 4 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Yo! Yo,
how many minutes?
Plus 8, wait, 12 minutes, right? Yeah. And plus minus 8, plus 8. And if I may digress, if you allow me a moment, Brandon had 24 points on 25 attempts, 3 rebounds, man. 6 assists, 2 turnovers, an astounding minus 24, an unbelievable 1 for 6 from the beyond the arc, and that would make him carry the 3 for 19 on the season. This my mic check. 3 for 19 on the season in 32 minutes. Most minutes played by the starters. I think Brandon should have finished this game personally. After that ant dunk, especially, I think, put me back in the game. They started having fun before the game even got out of hand. Motherfuckers throwing off the glass alley.
Nikhil Alexander Walker
transition before the game was even like out of hand. And you know the crazy part? Yeah, I'm not under any type of, you know, putting on the airs here. I'm here to complain about Brandon. So Brandon, even on some of the possessions, bro, you're on the court with shooters. Now you're on the court with you got the shooters now. You got the juice. Most of these possessions, again, 1, maybe 2 passes maximum. This straight hunting, 2-point shots, no ball movement, nothing. Even when you see Cody Zeller with his 6 assists, it's like it's ball movement. Guys feel like they have an opportunity. Yes, it's garbage minutes, second, third unit guys, you know, fringe NBA guys. But, you know, it's ball movement. You know, people feel like they have an opportunity to be involved in the game. You're seeing some of the same errors you've seen even with Zion on the court as far as just like, yo, you got to move the ball. You know, you got to give Jordan Hawkins a chance, see if he's still hot. Give Matt Ryan a chance, see if he's still, you know, he's still hot. Give JV a chance. Maybe you get Rudy Gobert in foul trouble. You know, and you just didn't see that again tonight.
What would y'all say to some? I saw a lot of people on Twitter. Well, I'm gonna let you go later. But what would y'all say, like, to the point of, well, he has six main rotation players out. What would
did he have? Did he have the 30-something million? He had all that with him.
He did.
Oh, I don't hear about no 6 motherfuckers. You got your money. All right.
So here's my only, you know, I mean, I can see the other element of like, who else are you giving the ball to, right? I can see that. I saw some, you know, some opportunities for other guys throughout the game to get involved. They just didn't take it. They didn't take the opportunity to be aggressive. That standing layup attempt by Jonas was kind of like the end of this basketball game. Any opportunity that this team had to get back to, if this game was going to be anywhere closer than where it ended, Jonas, that missed layup attempt that turned into like 3 straight threes in Minnesota was just, whoa, it was, man. It was completely
thank you,
over.
Chris, Jonas, I agree with you.
Jonas got dunked the ball. However, just my mindset. I feel like coming into a game like this, my thought process, if I'm Brandon, I'm not an NBA player. It's no, you know, no one will confuse me with that. But I feel like I know if there's any opportunity for us to win this game, it's 2 ways it's going to happen. The first way is, and I'm either me and Jonas together are going to have to do this. Jonas is going to have to be a feature part of this team, well, of this game very often. Or B, I'm going to have to use myself as a decoy to get other individuals involved, active, and have them get jumpers up early. Because I'm not going to be able to win this game by myself. That's my thought process. And I think that there were moments where that just didn't happen. It seemed like Brandon was treating it like any other kind of game. And I mean, I think, you know, that's fine. What is game? It's game eight or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're trying to bring home here is that if you plug Brandon's game tonight directly into the Denver game, where you did have Zion, where you did have Herb Jones, it looks quite similar. And I mean, like the shot selection and so on and so forth, some of the attempts, some of the ISO plays, and the ultimate goal, if this thing is going to work, and I still do believe if Brandon is bought in into moving the ball more and more, I think he is a necessary evil. I talked to Justin about this. I think he can be, if you're not going to feature Jonas, he's your run game. If this team is healthy, he can be that kind of a necessary evil, but it can involve consistent pick and roll, ISO, mid-range jumpers that don't involve dive passes, that don't involve pocket passes, that don't involve different looks consistently. If you are going to win games night in and night out, it slows up the game and it messes up rhythm for other individuals. And a night like tonight, I think it was a perfect night. I'm not here to criticize Brandon because, again, I mean, you're missing 6 to 10. I mean, 6 guys. I didn't expect him to win the game, but I think that there were other things from a habit perspective that he could have tried to go out there and experiment with that helps this team to game 18, game 38, game 28. It's a process kind of thing. The process still isn't clicking in a way that it should.
Leo, you said you wanted to.
That was pretty good, man. I didn't watch the game. I'm gonna be honest. Like I saw it in spurts, but every time I look up, I look at the score and I'd be like, "Nah, they're not about to upset me." Chad said that Cody Zeller had 6 assists, and that shit just really blew my mind. I was just kind of like, I was looking at the box score, like
in 12 minutes of play,
bro.
What do you think? Like, why did he have 6 assists? I think Jared had talked about that, but is it just simply just because of ball movement? Yeah. Simply just because of ball movement.
Who watched the fourth quarter? Because I was here the entire, pretty much a good majority of the fourth quarter. Can y'all explain how he got these 6 assists? Can you go one by one? Seriously, I didn't pulse on it.
There's a lot of playing through the middle with Cody Zeller, but like that's what Cody does. He's look like I know it's Cody Zeller, but he's a high IQ player. Like he is. I don't know what else to tell you. He's a high IQ player that's unselfish and he finds the right guy. I mean, I'm saying, can you give me an example?
Can you give me examples? Right.
The ball entered Cody Zeller pulse, like. He got the ball at the nail. There was an exchange between, I think, Kyra and another player.
He changed that man's name. He's so
sad. Man, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My bad, bro. I really mess up his name all the time. It's crazy. They tried to screen for each other, but he ended up getting a back cut. That was a dime by Cody. Like, things like that. But, like, it seemed like an offensive strategy for this to happen, right? Like these are, but Willie Green talked about this, right? I think he talked about this in practice with you and Schmidt, yeah, Justin. Someday. Like the second unit does the things that they ask. Like they play with the type of effort and IQ that they want the first unit to have. What's missing here? That's the
big question. Or what's been added?
Let me ask y'all something because every time we have these conversations, whether all of us are here or one of us are missing, the comments go into this. Y'all hate this player. Y'all hate that player. Y'all not putting this for, like, what's wrong with saying I think that Brandon Ingram is talented, but there's something being left on the table. There's more that he could be doing. There's other ways for him to affect the, like, where's the disconnect in that? Outside of lust, Chaz. Outside of lust, Seriously, we just rapping right now, right? Right? Yeah. We rapping. Where's the disconnect in Brandon Ingram's a good basketball player? Some nights, certain matchups, he can be great, but we feel like there is more that can be done. There are different elements that he's not showing that are beneficial to winning most games night to night, and with certain players, Zion Williamson, whatever. I don't get the disconnect in that. Where's the problem?
Let me just say my piece, Paul. Like, Brandon Ingram said 2 years ago that he wanted to show that he was the best player in the world. These are his words.
Right.
I didn't say this. It's not me saying I want Brandon to be the best player in the world. He said this on a live microphone with CJ McCollum. That's what he said. So forgive me for trying to hold him to the standard that he said. And after the Zion dunk versus Phoenix last year, he got on Instagram. He said Kobe and Shaq. We a duo. You said this. So why are we being vilified for saying Brandon should be better? He should be a better three-point shooter. He should be a better facilitator. He should be better at getting to the foul line. He should be better at playing basketball.
Rebounding.
Rebounding. You know, huge part of the game that he's missing. Why are we the ones that say, you know, we don't believe in Brandon? No, we do believe in Brandon. But does Brandon believe in Brandon?
I'm going to say I don't believe in Brandon. And you know what? I'll say this. Because you know why I say it? Because yo, on the real, I've been saying it for about 2-3 years. I'm like, yo, damn, this dude. I'm just like, you know, I saw somebody make a comment and I don't remember their name, but they said, damn, the only people that don't like Brandon are Lakers fans and Pelicans fans. They're like, yeah, because we watch him play. Like, you know, and dude, I think it's kind of like a Ponzi scheme. Whereas the more questions you start to ask and the more you zoom out, the more like deep diving pause you do into Brandon's like stats. And I'm not even talking about no super duper analytical shit. Like, well, he plays better on a Wednesday. I'm like, no, how does this man shoot? What are his numbers? Like what, like, and I think a lot of it's apocryphy. It's like, if you buy into the narrative that, well, someday he's going to be like Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant says that. It's like, yeah, you know, Kevin Durant's probably lying. You know, Kevin Durant probably is flattered that someone's being compared to him. And you're like, yeah, you know, that's my little brother. You know, yeah. But it's like, y'all don't be working out together. Y'all not like cool. Like, what does he do that you do? Kevin Durant just shot like 50% from mid-range, I think, last season. That was like a down season or something like that. Like, come on, man. Like, it's so many false comparisons, and I think it's because deep down inside, people just think someday he's going to become Kevin Durant, and it's never going to. People still lying about his height. Like, that's how far, like, it's going. It's like, bro, nah. It's no 8-year player would get the same benefit of doubt as Brandon. None.
I think
go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say to Bob and Chris's, like, kind of, well, Chris's question, Five's response also, and the Chaz's point, me personally, bro, I don't have a however you play, that's how I'm gonna call it. Like, I don't have a bias. I don't have a, like, if Zion play good, dog, I'm gonna say he played good. If he played terrible, I'm gonna say he played terrible. If Brandon was awesome, I'm gonna say Brandon was awesome. Yo, everybody know Jonas, my guy. Yo, Jonas been, Justin, what I told you yesterday or the day before, Jonas was, he was terrible. I don't have a bias like that. So when people comment on shit and they like, yo, you hate him, yo, I really personally could give a fuck. I don't care at all. Like, either way, honestly, like, I want the team to succeed. But as far as like my personal feelings, I don't know him. Like, I could not hate him because I don't fucking know him. Like, I see him in passing. We talk. What's up? Like, that's really it. But, and the other thing too is, for me personally, like, I just want to put this out there because, you know, the media, I think the media should get out of hand. If I could probably speak to this, though, I don't care about having relationships with like any of these people. Like, I just want to talk about the game. That's all I want to talk about. And if me talking about the game, you feel like it's going to get in the way of me saying or not saying what I'm supposed to say or what I'm seeing, you got me fucked up.
The most frustrating part to me is like, and I tell this all the time, I'm not a big box score guy, but like I love watching the game. But like after watching the game and Brandon Ingram being the guy right tonight, Brandon Ingram was our guy tonight. It's one free throw attempt and it's three rebounds.
Jesus Christ.
It's Matt Ryan. It's Matt Ryan having six free throw attempts. It's Jordan Hawkins having four free throw attempts. It's how do you elevate the guys around you? And tonight, once again,
Lito. I'm gonna cut you. I just wanted to add this. How many games have Brandon been back now?
Three.
How many games have we lost in a row?
Three,
I believe.
Not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. That's simplifying it too much. But no, I think if you look at the second game specifically, the Denver game, you go to that first Atlanta game, it's like, bro, there's like what happened to, well, Coach James said he gonna put the ball in my hands a lot. Pause. Well, he didn't think you would not pass the motherfucker. He didn't say no pass the bitch. He just said, you know, run the offense. He didn't say no pass it.
Came back to what Five brought up like a couple minutes ago. Was like, this is still fascinating to me. Is why does one team play a certain way and another team plays another certain way? Like I cannot grasp that concept of
you mean lineup Green, or
Willie Green literally saying the first unit plays one way and the second unit, but he didn't clarify who the second unit is. But I think we kind of know who's the second unit. We teach it? What is that about? Like I don't understand that
leadership.
Does anyone leadership? Anyone have
an? I mean, I think it's clear though. I mean, I think when you watch, you know, when you watch, there's a. There's an early emphasis on, and this has pretty much been like while we've had, I think even the Denver game, Zion ended the first quarter with like two shot attempts. The Atlanta game, he ended the first quarter with like one shot attempt. I'm trying to see. I don't remember if it was
five at the end of the first half tonight. Had five after a career night.
I'd have to go back to Memphis
after the first half.
Yeah, he had five.
Yeah,
it was the first quarter. Yeah, he had five. I didn't even know that.
And this isn't factual, right? This isn't hate. This is factual. The first Memphis and the New York game, I remember being slow starting games for Zion. The New York game might have been a little different because they were in transition a lot more. New York was missing a lot more, so on and so forth. But I do remember in the Memphis game it being a lot of Brandon early on. The preseason game, we were asking similar questions. That's how we get to the points of asking, what's going on with Zion? And we're like, and they say, well, we don't have any sets in for him, right? There's an early emphasis on Brandon controlling things when he's in the game. And we see a lot of first quarters kind of starting that way. That's pretty much what's happening. So that's going to disrupt, especially with the way that they're constructed. And I mean, and I will give bail from this element. We've all mentioned it. And Chaz has said a lot of it as well, to where Zion, Brandon, and Jonas, like they don't work well together, like constructed. There's not many setups that you can run with them that work well together. It's just not. What would work better and what would probably help Brandon's style of play right now, which is him either A, making the pass that leads to the basket, or him decide, or him shooting the ball, more space. You're not providing it, which is why second quarter, JB comes out the game. You see more corner passes. You see him, whether it be to Jordan Hawkins, you see it to Matt Ryan, whatever the case may be. But I don't know. I mean, there's who's saying, hey, run the offense. Hey, move the ball. Who's screen? Is that clear? Is that happening?
I
don't know.
Oh, my bad, Chris. My bad. I just want to add a counterpoint to that too. I feel like, and just an earlier point, right? The whoever you're a fan of, whoever you stand, whoever's your guy, right? I feel like you gotta look your fandom, your standing in the face sometimes and be like, hey, maybe this motherfucker not playing good. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe I could be on the wrong side of this. I don't know. Like maybe, you know, like, you know, your mom had you for 9 months and then you grow up and you just be a stand. Like I feel like it should be better things that you would want in your life. You know what I'm saying? And on the counterpoint of Chris's part, I feel like, all right, I know who's missing. I know who was playing, but that's what you have a. So also Fox point. That's what you have a. That's what you have an offensive scheme for. And just because one person is out of the game, you don't throw the whole game plan out. When I looked at certain parts of the game, it was gross. It was terrible basketball. Like it was like unenthused. I mean, Hawkins was still out there with the energy. I'm a praise Jordan Hawkins as much as I can. Like that motherfucker, he give maximum effort, dog. But why not? Okay, so we know it's JV, Zion, and Brandon don't work. But if JV and Brandon are there, why not put Rudy in a pick and roll? Like, why not keep attacking him? Why not get downhill on Rudy and get in foul? You leave Cat under the rim? Okay, who the fuck cares?
I mean, I think I got out of hand there early. I think they started off, 6 of 7 from the three-point line? I mean, it was
– okay.
And Nas Reed played bad. Just, like yeah. they caught a couple breaks. Cat, you know, he got pulled out the game early, like with a couple of foul trouble. It's just
Mike Conley, 4 or 5.
Oh yeah, Conley was bad.
Oh my god.
I'm just trying to think. Like, I'm gonna go ahead, Lito.
No, I was just saying, on the flip, Minnesota a good team, dog. Like they've held every opponent under 100 points for 101. They've held them right at 100 points. So like if. You know, if you come in here and you think you can play, you know, hero ball, that obviously is just not going to work.
Yeah. But look, offensively, think about how simple. And I haven't. I'm talking about in just this game, they force you to overplay something. So if Ant has the ball, that's already a problem. But then Rudy comes up and set the screen. How many times did we see either Mike Conley in one corner or Cat in the other corner? And it's either A, okay, you are going to allow Ant to score and get to where he wants on the floor. You are going to allow Rudy to get to the bucket. And if you decide to overplay that, we're going to live with Karl-Anthony Towns shooting a wide open three or man. Mike Conley shooting a wide open three. They got exactly what they want. And five, they did that shit over and over. And guess what? When one of them went out the game, somebody else came in and they did the same thing. And whether it was Kyle Anderson or whether it was McDaniels, they continued to run that over and over and over again until you stopped it. Well, you couldn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was simple basketball, but it had – you saw Oop one time. You saw Ant get to the line the next time. You see Ant shoot a midi or a floater at this time, and then you see a bunch of fucking corner threes. Next thing you know, you're down 28 talking about live spreads at halftime.
Because you have the guys all on the same page. Real quick, Chaz, go ahead.
Just a quick question. One, do you guys believe in addition by subtraction? That's the first question.
Yes, absolutely. And
the second part would be, right now, what would you say that Brandon's like good at? I don't mean like, well, you know, if he get into his flow, things go right once he's in rhythm. I mean like, nah, well, you got to watch out for that because he's good at that. Would you say there's three things that he's particularly good at?
But I think he's a good scorer. I think he really is. I think when he's playing the right way, he's a really good passer. I've seen it. I've seen this guy do it. Defensively, he's definitely had lapses, but like, I don't ever remember him being like this bad of a rebounder. Like, I feel like this is just no effort at all. Like, what did he have again tonight? Three rebounds?
Yeah.
Three rebounds in 32 minutes, guys. Like, that's
an improvement. He had two last night. I mean,
he's had five rebounds in 65 plus minutes. And look, the last thing, I don't remember him being this bad of a 3-point shooter. There's got to be some type of mental. No, like Chet, like when the Gentry days, like we did the numbers, like he's gotten progressively worse.
Yeah, that was some years ago.
True. We're at the 35-minute mark. Anybody final comments? Anything? Like, comment, subscribe. Let's hear from DraftKings. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours. Rockets on Friday. See y'all then.
Ace Tiggity.